Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. And yes, it's a zany morning again. And I'm going to start off with a little story. It's a little strange to admit, but I want to talk about it. It's about my home screen, you know? I have had changed the home screen on phone on my to-do list for a long time. And I think it's really hard to find the photo that works for you for the space that is the home screen. And so it's something you see every day. And I bet I actually don't want to admit how many times I pick up and look at my phone. It's probably a really big number. And there are some really great photos on my phone roll. And I know that some of them just won't work because of the way the screensaver is, the way that the clock appears, or maybe it's just a challenge to find something that you want to look at all day long. And maybe the photo is of the wrong season. Maybe it's a little gloomy. You want something a little different. Maybe it doesn't include the whole family and you think if I put that on, then somebody will wonder why they're not on, or it just doesn't fit. So there's something that I've had on my home screen for a long time. It was a photo I snapped of our skylight and the shadow of the perfectly shaped leaf that dropped onto the screen. The sky that day was this glorious pale blue, and the image made the screen look like pixels with that dark leaf shape in the corner. And I loved its tiny squares and how it made me think about the journey of that leaf and how the wind and the weather conditions had to be just so to allow the leaf to float under the skylight and land where it caught my attention. So one day recently, I spent most of an afternoon scrolling through my photos, pondering which photo might work. I wanted another image of nature for my home screen, and I tested some of my favorite. I thought some of my best pictures are twilight and sunset, but if you just pull out a sliver of it, somehow it doesn't have that same awe and sort of wonder. It lost it when you put it on the screensaver. So I decided not to do that. But it was a wonderful time cruising through the record of our family's adventures. And I highly encourage anyone to spend a little time in the story of your world through pictures. It's sure a lot of fun. And you forget about a lot of things that you snap photos of, and to be reminded of them is awesome. And then later that day, I found the one that's going to work. And it's of the prairie and the big blue sky and the clouds that look like a happy summer day. And I picked that because this is what I every summer say I'm going to have. I'm going to have this big summer just hanging out in a hammock, sitting on a blanket, having a picnic, something, dreaming about looking up at the sky, pondering the questions of the universe, or listening to the breath, just finding that essential quiet time. It usually never works out that way, but I do always think that that's what I'm going to do. And it's the summer I hope for, because my days are filled with kid activities and chores and zaniness. So I wanted to invite the blue sky, the flowing clouds, and the lazy days into each day. And you know what? It's working. It's really great. I love having this photo on my screen, because we all need to take deep breaths and find our quiet mind. And I think music is another place where we can find that. Music allows us that same feeling you get when you are taking that picture journey through the memories of a lifetime. We make connections to the tunes and allow our mind to ride the waves of sounds. And imagine if you could combine music and nature. Music with time outside in a beautiful setting, and you've got the perfect combination for a trip to that place of wonder and awe and glory. So I'm thrilled today to be able to welcome to the studio from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, Clark Onasorg. And you know what, Clark? I got it. Okay. I'm so happy. The pronunciation of your name, I wanted to check, and we forgot as we were chatting before the show. And also with us is Birch Carlson. Did I get that one right?
Yes.
Good. And they're here to preview the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra's concert that happens this weekend called Midsummer Serenade. It's a concert of light classics and popular orchestral tunes. It's really a wonderful lineup. We'll get into it a little bit more. I'm very excited to have them on the show. So I'll have each of you introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit of updates since your last visit. Both of you have been on before, and a little bit about your work, your world, and your music. Anything you want to share with our listeners so they can get to know you a little bit. Oh, I guess Clark is pointing to Birch.
I'm Birch Carlson, and I will be singing with the orchestra this weekend in their concerts, something that I've never done before with this group.
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah. You seem like a good fit. you have a glorious voice, it's going to be spectacular, but I suppose that would be, you've done theater, and so mm-hmm. you've sung with pit orchestras, mm-hmm. but not...
Not with this group. So this is a really fun, new, exciting opportunity for me.
That's
well, and you did quite the turn with Very Lady Parts Christmas too a few years ago.
We can never forget that.
I do love those videos. We should give a shout out to the filmmaker
Wendy Placco.
Yes, who is fantastic, and I adore her work and mm-hmm. think that she does amazing things. So people should look that up. But you might want to tell, you've done so many great roles on stage and great performances. Tell us about some of your favorites so that folks can remember.
Sure. Well, the last theater thing I did here in town was the show Bright Star with the Guild. Mm. That was amazing.
Oh, that music.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Edie Brickell and yep. Steve Martin.
And that was so wonderful because it was not really typical musical theater. It was musical theater, but the music was so different. It was very bluegrass inflected. So it was a different style of music than I think we're used to hearing on our little stage here in town, and definitely then something different for me for singing.
Mm-hmm. And you were a character, you were an actor as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to combine both of those.
Yep.
That's wonderful. And tell us a little bit about your world outside of singing and music.
When I'm not singing, I'm a stay-at-home mom with three boys. Which is a lot, and it's really fun, and we're in complete summer mode right now, trying to make the most of our brief Minnesota summer here, spending a lot of time at the pool and just playing and hanging out.
And that's you're right, it is a really busy time, mm-hmm. and having three boys, that was my mother-in-law, and I always think about her and think, how did you do it? Because they're so active and so into so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think having, three, they entertain each other, but then they also fight with each other. So
as any family knows,
yep.
That's exactly what happens. Well, I'm thrilled to have you back. Thank you very much for being here. And Clark, tell us a little about yourself and what's been happening in your world.
Well, I've been busy getting the orchestra stuff ready. The city has been very congenial about making Oddfellows Park available for us, which is a perfect outside summer venue because... you can't trust the weather. And, when we took, probably a year and a half hiatus with the COVID outbreak. And so it was nice to come back last fall when we first played at Oddfellows and be able to play outside and the audience could, sit outside and nobody had to be breathing each other's air very much.
Mm-hmm. I remember I was at that concert, and I think I was telling Birch this morning that it was that moment. I think that was probably my first step back into the world of live performance, and it was a little awkward, and we were all kind of wondering, how close should we put our chairs? And I think some people still had masks, even though we were outside.
Oh, yeah, most of the orchestra masked during that, too, and I will say this for people that are concerned, we're all... One of the conditions that we set for coming back was that everybody would be vaccinated and boosted. And because, to be honest, Birch is close to the youngest performer with us. And a lot of us are, of an age where we thought that, being cautious was the better part of valor.
Mm-hmm.
So I will, since we mentioned that a little bit, this is a concert you want to bring your own chair to. or a blanket. It's perfect for kids because it's, as you mentioned, it's kind of light, relatively brief American tunes. You know, stuff like The Peanut Vendor or My Fair Lady, Down a Country Road, Someone to Watch Over Me. Some exciting stuff like the William Tell Overture, and then a little touch into a little more classical piece with the Corellia Suite. But for the most part, it's a great opportunity to bring young listeners in because they don't have to sit in a pew for an hour and a half, and they can get up and poke around. And then also, you know, you can, if you got kids that are going to do a little cage fighting, you know, you can put your put your blanket out on the hillside, and, you know, there's plenty of opportunity for people to run around and all that sort of stuff.
Right, because both concerts are outside, so folks yes. have an opportunity. The first one, as you mentioned, is tonight.
At Oddfellows.
At Oddfellows at 7 p.m., and that's on Forest Avenue. Beautiful location, lovely park. And, again, that's the Midsummer Serenade. And then on Saturday, on the 18th of June 2022, you'll be at Keepsake Cidery at 2 p.m. for an afternoon concert. That's off of 135th Street East in Dundas. Another really lovely location for music. I think you've done a few things out there, or some live concerts have been out there.
I know that one of our faithful cellists, Martha Larson, who worked in sustainability at Carleton, and is also involved with Gypsy Jazz and runs the Hotspot down the street, and, you know, it's another cool community person. She's played there in a variety of things, and I believe that Carrie Jensen has also been involved with things there, but we haven't formally been there as a group, so we're super excited because, you know, part of our deal, we're the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, right? So part of our basic philosophy is to bring in musicians from the extent of the Cannon Valley, which, you know, sometimes we've had folks from as far away as New Ulm, and we always have people from Red Wing, Cannon Falls, Kenyon, Lakeville, Faribault. Yeah, when I start a list, I'm going to leave somebody out, so sorry about that. New Prague.
Yes, the whole region.
Right. And it's, you know, bringing in musicians from the region is important, but also getting out and attracting new audiences, or, you know, getting out and playing music for folks that haven't seen us before is cool, and Keepsake is a fantastic opportunity to do that. And then also you can, you know, as an audience member, you can enjoy a couple of tasty cider beverages, and I know they're, you know, their kitchen makes toasties and have little charcuterie plates and other things, so it should be a, you know, a nice, relaxed sort of a cafe concert feel.
I love it. Yeah. It's perfect. And so how did this concert develop? How did the music get selected? When did you come on board, Birch?
Paul surprised us with Birch.
delightful surprise.
Oh, yeah. No, which we talked a little bit about it. We have a council that meets and gets together and plans things. And Paul came up with the repertoire, as he always does. And then, I don't know, a month or two ago, he told us that Ed Birch had come on board. And so we just show up and grab our music and, you know, get on with it.
Yeah, and so, like you mentioned, some of the songs are, just looking at the titles, you know, you'll recognize a few, and they'll be, it's just lovely. Although the first one really surprised me. It was called The Peanut Vendor, El Manacero, which I had not heard before, and it's kind of a fun little tune. I don't know if I can, I did have it tracked down. And this is my fault, folks, because I usually send to Jeff so he can preview them. But somehow I typed the email and I didn't hit send. So I might try and track it down. But tell us
Birch, you know. Birch could sing a little of it, probably.
Are you singing?
No,
this?
I'm just teasing her.
I don't think there is.
Don't put me on the spot like that.
Sorry. I don't think there is a music word. At least the versions I heard, there weren't words.
No. Any words you hear while we're playing it will be because the music is blowing off the stands, and so it'll be inadvertent expostulations.
Yeah, this one is a fun tune. And so that might isn't one, but once you hear it, it's got that catchy little rhythm. Karelia Suite is another by Sibelius, which folks may have heard before. Another just great tune to have. Down a Country Lane, some Aaron Copland, Putting on the Ritz, Berlin, and that's just the opening of the show.
We've dropped Putting on the Ritz.
Oh, you have.
That was an accident in the putting together of the
program. Well, I don't know if
program.
I'm going
to go. You're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I do love that song. I did track it down. I don't know if we're going to be able to...
Oh, Peanut Vendor?
Yeah. So I found the version, I think, that I had. And, of course, the commercials. So let's try and see if we can... get this going. We'll give it a whirl. This is going to be a spin, and we'll find out if it goes through. A little more Latin flavor. The Peanut Vendor. This is Stan Kenton and his orchestra, so it's a little different version, and I did listen to it and thought that the horns were probably something. You guys have great horn players, but it's maybe a little different version.
It is. We do have a considerable workout for the horns in many of our pieces. They play a big role in the William Tell Overture, too.
Paul's...
Initially a band guy, so we appreciate the focus on pieces that give the horns something good to do. And I will just mention, I was talking about our role as a community orchestra, and one of the cool things is the steady influx of really talented and interesting musicians into the area. And, we've got new cellists, we've got new violinists, we've got new bass players, and this piece reminds me that we could always use more percussionists, because the section you played has got this really fleshed out, I can hear maracas and, fancy drummers and all sorts of stuff. And so if people are interested in getting involved to play with us, they can contact the CVRO through the Northfield Arts Guild website. We're always looking for anybody, but percussionists would be fun.
And I don't know how your... Tell us how your piece sounds of the Peanut Vendor a little...
Oh, it's a lot less... I don't know if this is bossa nova or not. It's more orchestral.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme is more prominent. There's a lot less moving and shaking and drumming.
So I'm glad that you didn't have to sing along.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I mean, I just think there's great music. And one of the things I love about the CVRO is that in the description, it says it's a diverse group of volunteer musicians performing symphonic music. But I love this line, drawn together by our love of rehearsing and performing this fine repertoire. And what caught my eye was this rehearsing and performing. I love that thought of, because obviously rehearsing is a big part of, you know, when you come together. And I think that, you know, that might be something people haven't been taken inside of a lot. And you do have to love that time together, because you can play your part at home in your, in, you know, in mm-hmm. your own little world, and it sounds great, but you've got to be able to, you know, come together and listen for the other parts and follow the direction of the conductor. Tell us about rehearsals for the CVRO.
Well, it's interesting. Last year, when we decided probably midsummer to try to do a concert after our hiatus, one of our commitments was that we were just going to get together and rehearse, and then if it COVID hit the upswing again at the end of summer, because I think we played around September 7th or so, just mm-hmm. when, you know, things were heating up at the end of the summer. One of our commitments was that it was perfectly worthwhile for us to get together and rehearse for a couple of weeks, and then if the concert was a no-go for reasons, and we were, you know, paying a lot of attention to the health department and the Northfield Arts Guild as who is our umbrella organization. They, you know, have their thoughts, and we have our thoughts, and so we were perfectly happy to just rehearse and then not have a concert, if that made sense. Because that is a big part of it, and we have lots of folks, quite a few retired or semi-retired faculty, and a lot of folks here, you know, who played in college orchestras, and we all need a reason to get together and dust things off and play together. So the rehearsal and the, you know, the sense of community of drag, bringing people together from all over mm-hmm. the region.
Right, because you wouldn't normally play together, but this gives you the opportunity to have exposure. And there's so many talented musicians in this town.
It's stunning. You know, I'll just say this. For the first time in a long time, we have three bass players, which is, I could hear the basses last night, which is pretty cool. And we're just overflowing with folks who are, because everybody felt the strain of not getting out and playing and stuff. So we've got a whole lot of folks.
Sure. Yeah, and that's exciting. And Birch, tell us a little about how you approach your rehearsal process. First, you have to learn the songs, and then you're going to learn them with the orchestra. Mm-hmm. So talk about how you prepared and when you knew you were ready to go meet with the orchestra and sure. how that works.
I'm doing singing two pieces with the orchestra this weekend. And the first piece, I'd had that music for several weeks, so I'd been looking at it, working on it at home by myself. But then I didn't get the music for the second piece till I think what was it, 2 days before our first rehearsal, which was fine. I was able to spend, you know, 2 days with it. But there really is only so much you can do by yourself when you're rehearsing. I mean, you can rehearse your part, but you don't know what it sounds like with the rest of the group. And what I find as a singer, which, I mean, it's a little different than for an instrumentalist. I also play the piano, and I spent some time playing the flute in high school and college. And when you're singing, like you're also, like you're learning the notes, you're banging them out on the piano and you're learning the notes. And it's a little, I don't know. It's kind of funny to be like, okay, this isn't what it sounds like. You know that when you're singing it by yourself with your piano at home, it's not going to sound like when you sing it with the orchestra, or if you're singing with a choir, what it's going to sound like when you sing with the choir. Mm-hmm. So you have this, you have to have this expectation that it's going to sound different when you're with the rest of the group. And that goes for any instrument, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent, you know, as much time as I could learning my own part, but you get to a point, you run up to this wall and you're like, I don't know, like, is it worth it? Still doing this by myself. I need to do this with the rest of the group, because mm-hmm. once you get with the rest of the group, it all comes together, and things that you didn't notice before, it really makes itself apparent.
Can you give an example? That's really interesting.
There's, you know, differences in what you think the time signature should be.
Okay.
And then
how fast
the
director or slow
takes
or
it,
you're...
or how the orchestra kind of can take it away sometimes. And, you know, just, and when there's pauses, there's breaks or holds in the music, just how that gets fleshed out and how...
And your breathing and...
Yeah, and I mean, that's something I have to work on. I have to take care of. But it's all these little things. It's not just the notes. It's the space between the notes, too.
So, yeah, that's really fascinating.
I'll mention, too, that Birch has been a real trooper because we didn't have very effective... amplification for her the first couple of rehearsals. I haven't counted the orchestra, but we probably got 50 people playing. Mm-hmm. And one of the features of short rehearsal schedule, since we've only had, you know, with people's schedules, we were all laughing about how busy June is. With people's schedules, we've only had time for a couple rehearsals. So that, you know, when people start to feel comfortable with the piece, all of a sudden they start to play louder. And, you know, one of the things I always worry about with singers is us getting a little too enthusiastic and drowning them out. And
there's only one of me.
Yes, right.
There's about 50 of you.
So can I ask each of you, as you're playing then, or singing, tell me what you're listening to or how you manage, because those multiple channels you're listening to, of, you know, both the instruments and your own voice, and maybe you're watching the conductor too. Are you aware of processing that? That might be a strange question, but
I mean, when I'm singing, I'm definitely watching Paul, the director, but I'm also listening to what's going on in the orchestra. What's interesting about the pieces that I'm singing, and I'll just say this, is they weren't written to be sung with. They're orchestral arrangements of stuff that was originally, you know, songs. So I've gone through and I've written my lyrics in. But then I have in front of me, I think one of them is just a reduced conductor score. So I can see like the cues, like, oh, the flutes are going to do this, or, oh, this is what the horns are doing. So I can see that in my music, and then I can use that as my own cue as well.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different channels that you're paying attention to as you're performing. I find that fascinating. That's a really skill you have to develop.
And I think as far as being heard, I'm being mic'd, and I've been mic'd for the rehearsals, and I will be for the performances as well. But it's hard when you're mic'd. You don't necessarily know what's coming out of the speaker, so I think Paul is paying attention to that, and he's telling the orchestra when to simmer down a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on, which is why you have to enjoy that rehearsal process. You play the violin, Clark, so what is your ear doing as you're performing?
I try to listen to my stand partner mostly, and then obviously you watch the conductor, and then as you get familiar with the pieces, do you learn to hear the other parts of the orchestra? And in particular, when we have a singer, it's, you know, like Birch and I both mentioned, it's useful to learn to just kind of simmer down a little bit and let the star shine.
Absolutely. Yeah, folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination. I'm Paula Granquist. We're here at the KYMN studios in downtown Northfield, and we're talking today about the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. Their concert this weekend is the Midsummer Serenade. I'm here with Birch Carlson and Clark Onosorg. And we're talking about this fabulous concert. There are two performances, so only one weekend. So you've got to get that on your calendar for this weekend, the 17th of June, Friday at 7 p.m. That's at Oddfellows Park on Forest Avenue. And then Saturday the 18th at 2 p.m. at Keepsake Cidery in Dundas. So it's a bring-your-own blanket and chair. And how does the ticket situation work with the fact that it's an outdoor concert?
Well, 4 or 5 years ago, we sort of adapted to the modern era and started a practice of pre-selling tickets. We used to sell them at the door and, you know, through orchestra members because we're a volunteer group. And that was, as the guild helped us to get more organized, they started to take over the responsibility for selling tickets. But they also were perfectly congenial with the idea of operating on a pre-sale ticket thing for folks who wanted tickets, and then also a sort of a pay-as-you-go theory at the door. So we include donation envelopes in the programs, and then, you know, I guess sometimes we've kind of passed the hat, but usually what we ask is for people to throw a little cash or a check into the envelope and drop it in the basket at the staff desk at intermission, or, you know, if they happen to get totally turned on by the peanut vendor, they can just rush the stage and throw piles of cash at us.
Absolutely, it might happen.
And in, I will say, since you mentioned the weather, which was pretty smart of you, it seemed more sensible with outdoor concerts to not actually do any pre-sale. Just you know.
Logistics.
I think the chance of rain today is 9%. The weather's going to be nice. It's going to be a beautiful evening.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know.
Right.
In Minnesota. So.
Well, and I think the for people also, you can, donations are encouraged in lieu of tickets is what the line is in the on the website, which is you can go find out more information about the concert at the northfieldartsguild.org. Click on the arts and music section, and there's a spot for the CVRO, the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. And you can also go online there if you would rather donate with a credit card. You can do that before you go to the concert, or if you love the mm-hmm. concert, do that afterwards. So lots of different ways that folks can make a contribution to keep the programming going.
And since you mentioned the website, that's also been a really useful resource for us to have new community members in the, you know, come in and join us. Because
mm-hmm.
that puts them, people can log on there and express interest, and it will get Andrea Shogren, who's the current director and is just fantastic, passes that information on directly to Paul or me or Jeremy Huseth or Heather. Are the other folks that are involved in the council and recruiting, and then we get in touch with folks. So that's a good way for people who are coming in to get connected with us.
Absolutely. So folks have lots of ways to make connections. And I want to talk a little bit about the selections that you're doing. I don't think we mentioned the tunes that you'll be singing. Maybe we should spend a minute exploring what the songs are and how you practiced and, you know, found your voice for those.
Sure. I'll be singing, it's selections from the musical My Fair Lady,
which a lot of people know and
love,
just can
love the
warm fuzzy. Yeah.
Yep. And then I will also be singing a Gershwin piece, Someone to Watch Over Me. Very, very classic.
I know, my heart melts. I love that tune.
Yeah. Really, both of them are just absolute classics. They're wonderful. When Paul Nemistow contacted me about singing with the group, he asked me to suggest some music, which I did. Some stuff that I had in my repertoire that I've been working on. And he was unable to find music for it for full orchestra. So he sent me a list of stuff that are singables that are in their library of music. And these two pieces were in that list, so that's how we came to those selections. And I was perfectly happy with both of those. They're wonderful pieces.
Yeah, and let's talk about My Fair Lady for a minute. Do you feel like you get into character when you sing?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because it's, I mean, how many selections are there in this piece we're doing? There's maybe five different songs, I think it is. And they're from the whole show, and it's different, a couple different characters singing. And so I'm trying to use different singing styles. I don't know if that's coming across, but so I'm trying to do that to kind of delineate these different characters, because it's definitely, I mean, people know these songs and they know how they're supposed to sound. So
is there pressure to not try to play too much,
well,
but to be...
I mean, yeah, because it's not like an actual stage show. I'm not in costume or anything. It's a concert.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely a difference between, you know, running around stage in a costume versus, you know, you're standing in front of an orchestra. So there's different expectations there. But I am trying to infuse a bit of character into each song.
Right. And the Gershwin song is one folks may know, Someone to Watch Over Me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really beautiful classic song.
Yeah.
And so how did you approach that piece?
Well, it's interesting because... the key that we're doing it in for this concert is not the original key that it's written in. Because I have, in one of my musical theater books, I have that piece in its original key. And the key that we're doing it in, that it's written for this orchestral arrangement, is it's quite different. So that's been a challenge for me.
So have you sung this song before?
I mean, I've worked on it.
Okay.
But it's a lot lower, so I'm really using like the bottom of my range in this piece, which is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it's a different way of approaching it. It's a different way of singing it. So that's been interesting.
I'm suddenly wondering, did you and Paul consider doing Summertime? Was that on the list?
I don't think it was, which is too bad, actually, now that you mention it. Like,
well, now we have
perfect.
a song for next year.
that's one of the stories of the CVRO. You know, we have ideas that, you know, come along just as a function of doing what we're doing.
Well, now I did pull up an Ella Fitzgerald version of Someone to Watch Over Me. And, boy, I don't know, my... on-the-fly YouTube scanning may not be all that great. So I'm going to try this and see. And we can always knock it off if it's not going to work. This is Ella Fitzgerald sings the George and Gershwin songbook. And we'll see if this is close. That was not the song. I think, there we go. It's the whole collection. And I have to scroll down. That was Sam and Delilah, which makes a little more sense. The image is the image of the album. So I thought for sure I'd found the right one. But no, I had not found the right one. This, I believe, is it. Let's see if we can back that up. Let's give it another whirl. And it's Art Zany Radio. There's always something zany happening. So here's Ella Fitzgerald. That's all.
There's a saying old says that love is blind. Still we're often told, seek and you shall find. So I'm going to seek a certain lad I've had in mind. Looking everywhere, haven't found him yet. He's the big affair I cannot forget. Only man I ever think of with regret. To my monogram, tell me, where is the shepherd for this lost lamb? There's a somebody in the woods.
Thank you, Ella Fitzgerald. Oh, I'm just, my heart is melting. I just absolutely love her voice, love the song. Is that something you do, Birch, when you're preparing? Do you look at songs and, you know, look at different recordings and how different artists?
Yeah, I know some people don't like to do that and they purposefully stay away, which is, you know, that's a legitimate thing to do. But I really like to listen to other people perform music that I'm working on. I find it helps me a lot. And I think the worry sometimes is that, well, you're just going to copy what another singer is doing, but I don't feel like that's happening. I'm feeling it's, you're hearing how other people are doing it, so you can take that and incorporate it into your own style and your mm-hmm. own voice. So I definitely listened to that same recording of Ella. I mean, she's one of my favorites.
I know. Like how can you not love what Ella, she can touch any one of those songs mm-hmm. and you can just melt from hearing her voice. But you're right. No one should expect that you're Ella because there's only one.
No, I mean.
And so you do have to be able to work with what your voice is.
Yeah, you have the limitations of your own voice and you can only do certain things with it.
How about with phrasing? Is that something that as you're, you know, looking at the song, that's part of, you know, adding style mm-hmm. or adding, you got to be careful with that.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned earlier that the key that we're singing, that I'm singing this in, that the piece is in, is quite low for me. So, I mean, my phrasing is affected by that for sure. I'm finding I have to use a lot more breath support in the lower register. So that affects my phrasing and that affects when I have to breathe. And that's fine. I mean, you just have to recognize that and say, okay, I have to breathe here. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. So then you have to make those choices and that affects the style that you're singing in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the interesting things about listening to that recording is there's such nifty interplay between the strings and the singer, mm-hmm. right? It's tossed back and forth. And then it's just a challenge for us as a community orchestra because we rehearse in a variety of different spaces. And so most folks have the luxury of playing in the same space over and over and over. And over the years, we've been the beneficiary of a lot of generosity in the community. The middle school we use for rehearsal space, the high school, the UCC Church, St. John's, St. Olaf, we used to rehearse at a lot. And when at the same time you're trying to learn a piece and then to learn to play it in a coordinated fashion with a singer, it's just a little additional difficulty if you're not as familiar with the acoustics. And, you know, it's been a cool thing to play outside mm-hmm. under a metal roof with the wind blowing. but it's just an additional fun challenge. And that's actually one of the cool things about Dr. Nemisto is that he's a lifelong educator, right? He was a band instructor out in Eastern Canada before he came to St. Olaf in 1978. And whenever we talk about things, he mentions that one of his big goals, in addition to drawing in folks from the community, both to performers and audience members, is he wants to provide a learning experience for the members of the orchestra. So you may remember a few years ago we had one of our really fun concerts. We had Jay and Molly.
Mm-hmm.
Molly Mason from Prairie Home Companion and Jay Unger.
I remember that
Ashrafan
concert well.
Farewell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a stretch for us, you know, to learn to play a lot of American swing music. And, you know, you could tell, right, where it's, we don't exactly necessarily have the groove for Gershwin mm-hmm. or, you know, some more bluesy things mm-hmm. or jazzy mm-hmm. things. And that's not an accident. Entirely, it's part of his scheme to make sure that we all come out of these things a little bit better than we went in.
Yeah, and I like when Paul sometimes adds commentary, a little history of the song, or something about the piece, or the or way they orchestrated. It's a good experience to be there for the concert, and you know, lifelong learning is something I think we can all value. Mm-hmm. And the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra does a great job in keeping us interested in different styles of music and trying new things. So there's always a surprise, and that makes it fun to go to.
Yeah. You know, I'll throw in, just since we were talking a little about Paul, he's been doing this. It's hard to count because we were at our 40th anniversary when we went into hiatus, so this could be our 41st year. It could be our 42nd, depending on how you count.
How do people count anymore? I don't know.
But he's also been running the Vintage Band Festival for quite a few years, which is also a tremendous commitment of time and brings, you know, we were talking about it the other day. It alternates between a smaller performance schedule one year and then a larger performance schedule every other or a third year. And in the big schedules, I think the number of concerts they put on in a extended weekend is something like 40 different concerts.
And that is coming up at the end of July, beginning of August.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of weeks reserved on Art Zany Radio, so we can go into it.
Are you bringing Dan Bergeson in?
We'll see who's going to be the guest. But yeah, there's a great opportunity for music learning at that event as well.
As always, I'm reluctant to thank people in particular because
you'll miss somebody, right?
You always forget somebody. But I'm pretty sure that Dan has become one of the moving forces behind the organization of that, and that's the vast amount of complex stuff that needs to get dealt with. But that's also another nice thing that Paul's, got behind and brought out, that's just part of the local fabric of life here. It's a very nice thing.
It is, and we're very lucky to have these opportunities. This weekend is the Midsummer Serenade. You can get more details at northfieldartsguild.org. Click on the Arts Music CVRO tabs. And what else are we missing about this concert? And it's going to be a glorious, evening and afternoon for performing. How are you feeling? Are you ready for it? It's happening tonight and tomorrow.
I think so. I feel like, we rehearsed last night, and I felt good after I rehearsed with you guys last night. So, yeah.
Well, we got a whole new $11 microphone for you. We're treating her like a queen.
Well, and that it's going to be so wonderful to be with other folks in the park or at the wonderful, amazing Keepsake Cidery. And to just come together again. I think we're missing a lot of that. And this music can often bring us together.
Yeah, there's something to be said about making music and listening to music with other people. I found during, lockdown and, I would rehearse on my own. I practice for fun. I wasn't, preparing for anything. But once I got out and was rehearsing with people again in choir or for theater, it feeds part of your soul, I think.
You're right, and it's something that, especially like you said, to complete that triangle of performer and audience and just have everything come together in the space. It's live music. You can listen to it on your, headphones or, your record or your CD or whatever it is, your choice, but it's never quite the same as being in person. And
I'm just going to add, it's something I mentioned before, but Birch reminds me again that the aspect of the collaboration to do something positive for the community is something that we really are grateful to the various venues that support us, one way or the other. And the city has been really helpful and pleasant in helping us arrange the space and the use of it and the people donating their time. A few years ago, because one of the ways we support ourselves is by writing grants, particularly to the Southeast Minnesota Arts Commission. And as an exercise for that, we recruited information about the amount of time, which includes travel and practice and rehearsal time, that's essentially donated by members of the orchestra and, associated spouses and friends.
Right.
And, it turns out to be, of course it's good for us because it's easier to be involved and do something constructive when there are other people doing it, because it provides a sort of an impetus to get everybody out there. But it turns out to be quite a bit of time, and it's all for our benefit, pretty much, which is nice.
And it's because you all love it, and that comes through as an audience member. Mm-hmm. I get to see and hear and listen to all that, and it shines through. So very excited for this concert.
Oh, I'll say this. Thank you, guys. You're always nice about providing, you know, promotional time for us and playing a few things and interviewing people, and that's part. I just realized that that's part of the effort that I had kind of, you know, glossed over.
Yeah, it does. It takes a whole community, and we all come together, and it makes it a better place if we can have these kind of opportunities. So, folks, I hope you will join them for the Midsummer Serenade. There's so many songs on the list, we didn't even get to talk about all of them. I'm looking forward to this Tango Lullaby. That's one I didn't know, but of course it was on the list, and so I looked it up, and I hope that you'll have the opportunity to get to know that song too. So I'll tease you with that you should definitely listen. Thank you again for coming, Birch Carlson and Clark Onosorg from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. Folks, this is Art Zany Radio. I hope you will always find time for your imagination. Of course, make sure that you always add a little extra Art Zany to your life. In the meantime, till next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372.
95.1, The One. Still a friend you can count on.